What is up, Rams Nation, and happy draft week to you all. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Rams Wire podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and you can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. We've got a lot to catch up on and really talk about heading into the draft. The Rams schedule was released last week, so we've got that to break down a little bit. Their official 30 pre-draft visits are set, and there's no more players coming to Thousand Oaks to visit with the team, so we've got a little bit of an indication on who they're focusing on. We'll talk about some of the top prospects that they can target in the third round now that they don't have a first or second rounder. So there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the draft for the Rams. We're not really sure which direction they're going to go because there is so much that's going to happen before they even go on the clock at 87. But we'll do our best to kind of prepare you for everything that's going to happen on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Dallas at AT&T Stadium where the draft is being held. The Rams aren't going to obviously have a first or second round pick, like I said, but there are definitely a lot of players who could contribute right away and really come in and play a significant role for the Rams, even as third and fourth round picks. So we'll get to that a little bit later, but we're going to start out with the schedule that was released last week on NFL Network. The NFL, of course, has a whole two-hour show to promote the schedule and talk about the release, and it's a whole primetime ordeal. But anyways, the Rams did have their schedule released, like I said, along with every other team. I'll run through the 16 games. I'm sure you've seen it already, but they go on the road at the Raiders, stay home for the Cardinals, Chargers, and Vikings. Then they have three straight road games against the Seahawks, Broncos, and 49ers. They're home against the Packers in Week 8. Then they travel to New Orleans for Week 9 against the Saints. They're home against the Seahawks, and then at home, technically, against the Chiefs, even though that game will be played in Mexico City. They get a Week 12 bye, which is Thanksgiving week, which almost never happens in the NFL, but they get that week off, which is nice for them and their families. Coming out of the bye, they go to Detroit and then to Chicago to play the Lions and Bears, respectively. And then to close out the year, they're home against the Eagles in primetime on Sunday night. They travel to Arizona in Week 16, and then they're home against the 49ers to close out the season, which is a game that could absolutely be flexed into primetime as one of the top matchups that week and really of the season. So that's what their schedule kind of looks like. They're one of, I think, three teams that have three straight road games on the schedule. So that's not exactly a great thing. And technically, you could even say they have two groupings of three straight road games if you include the home game against the Chiefs, which is being played in Mexico City. So they'll go to Mexico City, have the bye, then go to Detroit and Chicago. So they definitely have a few groups of games on the schedule that are really probably going to determine their season and determine how far they go in the regular season and whether they make the playoffs, whether they get a first round bye, so on and so forth. Anything is possible in the NFL. You never know really what's going to happen. But now that we have the schedule in our hands and we kind of know who the Rams are going to be playing, when they're going to be playing them, it's easier to kind of visualize what's going to happen as far as next season goes. So we knew this a little while ago, a few weeks or months ago, but the Rams do have the fifth toughest schedule in the NFL as far as strength of schedule from last season goes. Having won the NFC West, it's definitely a greater challenge to repeat in 2018 because they are given a first round schedule where they're playing some of the top teams in each division from last year, like the Eagles, the Vikings, the Saints. So all of those teams are going to be on their schedule. It's going to make it increasingly difficult to win the division again. But with the Seahawks going backwards, it seems the Cardinals really rebuilding with no stability at quarterback now that Carson Palmer is retired. They do have Sam Bradford, but as you Rams fans know well, that's not exactly an assuring addition to the quarterback room given his injury history. The most notable really game right out of the gate is against the Raiders, which is a 7:20 Pacific time start on Monday Night Football. ESPN does the Monday Night doubleheader, so That's the second game of the two-game doubleheader. It's against Jon Gruden, who's going to be on the sideline and not in the booth for the first time. It's his first game back to coaching on ESPN on Monday Night Football, where he spent the past decade or so calling games. So that's definitely an intriguing storyline. Add in the fact that Sean McVay was kind of mentored by Jon Gruden and has often been called a mini Gruden. And really, there's just no shortage of storylines heading into that game to start the season. So for the Rams, as far as it being a favorable start, I would definitely consider it not a difficult one, just because you're not going on the road against really a top playoff Super Bowl contending team. Like they could have against the Eagles. Well, not technically, because the Super Bowl champion always defends at home to start the season, but they do have the Eagles on the schedule, the Packers, the Vikings, the Saints, the 49ers. So they could have started the season against any of those teams, possibly going on the road in week one. So it definitely could have been worse. But as far as the schedule goes, it looks pretty favorable to start because the Rams don't leave really the West Coast until week nine when they go to New Orleans. Now, obviously that's taking into account Denver and or Denver being on the West Coast. It's not technically, it's a different time zone, but it's definitely not a far flight for the Rams. So they're in California, Arizona, California, California, Seattle, and then they go to Denver. So for the most part, the first half of the season, they're in California for the majority of their games, which is a great thing for them heading into next season. Hopefully that'll build some momentum for the fans and increase ticket sales and really just help get this whole season off the ground and really build up anticipation and hype for a team that a lot of people have Super Bowl aspirations for. So it's a good start to the season for the Rams. Obviously, it gets tougher from there just because you can't have easy games every week. But starting against the Raiders, Cardinals, and Chargers, that's about as good as it gets for them, considering the other teams that they do have to play. They're going to play in Seattle in October. I think it's one of the first times they're going to be in Seattle before the month of December. So you get good weather there, hopefully. It's a little bit more favorable. The game won't have as large of implications. So that's obviously another plus for the Rams. And then you get a team like the Broncos the following week on the road, which, given their quarterback situation, shouldn't be too difficult of a test. So, like I said, it's a good start to the season for them. A chance to go 3-0 right out of the gate. If you beat the Vikings, that's a huge statement win on Thursday Night Football in Week 4. Possibly start 4-0 before that three-game road trip. So there definitely a chance for the Rams to get off on a high note, and then before you know it, they'll be in a tough stretch, which I think is really going to be five games that could determine their schedule, their whole season. From weeks 7 to 11, which is the 5 weeks before the bye, the Rams are on the road twice and three times if you include the Mexico City game, and they're playing against five teams who could easily make the playoffs next season. They're on the road against the 49ers. They come home for the Packers, go on the road for the Saints, then they're home against the Seahawks, and they go to Mexico City against the Chiefs. That's a really difficult schedule. Combined, those teams were above 500 last season, and that's including the 49ers and Packers, who had pretty poor seasons for different reasons. The 49ers came on late with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, and then the Packers obviously faded down the stretch with Aaron Rodgers injured. But those are five playoff caliber teams, five teams who you could see contend for a Super Bowl. And really, it's the only stretch of five games where the Rams could possibly go 0-5. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't really foresee them losing five games in a row at all this season, let alone three or four games in a row. But say the Rams do go 5-2 in the first seven games, or 5-1 in the first six games. It takes some pressure off heading into that five-game stretch, where if they do go 3-2, then they're sitting at 8-3. after the bye week, and then they realistically only probably need to win three of their last five games to secure the NFC West. On the flip side, if they struggle through that stretch and go into the bye week around 500, then you're looking at possibly needing to win out to win the division. It's my opinion that that stretch in the schedule is possibly going to determine whether they make the playoffs, whether they win the NFC West, whether they get a first round bye, and so on. There's a lot of factors to take into account there, but there's really not a single easy game in that stretch, in that five game span before the bye week. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be watching closely. And obviously, there's a long way to go between now and those games, let alone the start of the season. But I do think that's going to be a difficult road trip and a few tough home games where the Rams are going to have to win at least three out of those five to really feel good heading into the last 5 weeks of the season. I didn't mention this before, but they do have five primetime games. They're against the Vikings, against the 49ers, the Raiders, obviously, in week one, Kansas City, and then the Eagles. So not a single one of those teams is going to be an easy out. Primetime changes a lot of things. Everyone's watching. All the bright lights are on you. And we'll see how the Rams handle that. They definitely weren't a primetime team last season, but given that they won 11 games, they're really the focal point of the NFL heading into next year. So we'll see how they handle those games. Moving on to the draft, which everyone is talking about, everyone's focused on. It's not as hyped up around LA with the Rams, just because they don't have first or second round picks. But with the draft happening this week, there's absolutely no doubt that that's where all the focus is on the NFL right now. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the Rams right now because they do only have a third round pick. You don't really know what teams are going to do heading into the draft, heading into round one and two, let alone round three. You don't know who exactly is going to be on the board when the Rams do go on the clock, but we'll do our best to kind of catch you up on who the Rams might target, who might pique their interest, and what kind of positions they might be looking at in rounds three and four. Round three is obviously where the Rams are going to get their best value and their top player that they're targeting in the draft. But there's definitely going to be players available in round four where the Rams do have three picks, and then in round six where they have four picks. So in round three, I would say across the board from outside linebacker, inside linebacker, and outside or offensive line, I think my top three picks would probably be something like Kamoko Touré, Jannard Avery, and Frank Ragnow. Ragnow is someone who could go as high as round two. I've seen even rumors of him going in the first round as a center out of Arkansas. But I think those are some of the top players at each of their respective positions that could be around in round three. You don't really know because there are so many different factors that are in play. There could be none of them available. So you just don't know at this point. But those are three players that I really like for the Rams as far as filling a need, giving them some versatility at inside and outside linebacker, and then possibly giving them a starting caliber center and guard if and when they do kind of disband their offensive line, which their contracts are expiring, a lot of them, and you don't really know how long they're going to be around. But going position by position, I definitely think their top three needs are relatively clear. You'd be hard pressed to argue with these top three just because they're so deep at corner. They have good depth at wide receiver, and then they have quality starters at just about every other position on both the offense and defense. So outside linebacker, I would say my top five prospects that I'd be looking at in round three. It'll vary by analyst and based on round, but Kamoko Touré, Josh Sweat, Obo Okoronkwo from Oklahoma, say that five times fast. Arden Key from LSU, he's a little bit of a shaky prospect. Who knows what's going to happen with him? And then Uchenna Nwosu out of USC. Those are five of the top, I would say, defensive ends and outside linebackers that the Rams could potentially target. But it's obviously going to vary by what happens in the first two rounds. So who knows what's going to happen there. But and then at inside linebacker, Jannard Avery out of Memphis, Micah Kizer, Malik Jefferson, who I don't think we really talk about much as far as a fit with the Rams, Darius Leonard, and then Josie Jewell. Those are probably my top five inside linebackers for the third round. And then on the offensive line, you have Ragnow, like I mentioned, Terrell Crosby from Oregon, Orlando Brown, who had a terrible combine, Austin Corbett out of Nevada, and then Brian O'Neill from Pitt. Those, if the Rams came away with any of those 15 guys in the third round, I think it would be a really solid win for them. I wrote this up I think last week or 2 weeks ago, and named all of them as ideal targets. That doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be around. That doesn't mean that they're going to be even available in the third or fourth round. You just don't know what's going to happen in the draft, but as far as best case scenario, I think any of those 15 guys would fill a solid need. Obviously, the offensive line isn't as pressing as inside or outside linebacker, just because the Rams are solid and set on the offensive line with Whitworth, Saffold, Brown, Sullivan, and Havenstein. But there's definitely going to be a need for both tackles, centers, and possibly even guards in the next year or so. With Whitworth getting older, Sullivan is obviously getting up there in age too, and then the contract situation where all of them are going to be free agents by 2020. So you're looking at possibly rebuilding the entire offensive line in the next year or so. So given that situation, that's obviously something that the Rams are going to have to address relatively soon. But as far as immediate needs go, outside and inside linebacker are definitely their top two needs. And it's something that they really need to address as early as possible. Toure and Sweat are two guys who I have the least confidence in being available in the third round at 87. They're both really dynamic edge rushers. Sweat has a bit of a knee issue, where he had suffered a significant knee injury a few years ago. There's been questions about how long his knee is going to hold up in the NFL. There's been questions about whether he's going to be as productive at the next level as he was at Florida State. Some worry about his initial jump, his ability to time the snap, things like that. But he's someone who is really rising up draft boards because teams are seemingly becoming more comfortable with his knee situation and really his whole built body of work from Florida State. So he's someone who has been rumored to even be linked to the first round with someone like Seattle, who could be looking for a dynamic edge rusher. If the Rams had the 23rd overall pick like they had before they traded it to the Patriots, I would consider Sweat there. So if he's available in the third round, he's someone who they should definitely jump all over. He's not someone who came to Los Angeles to visit. Really none of the top pass rushers did for some reason. It doesn't mean that the Rams aren't valuing that position, but he's definitely someone who's going to be on their short list of prospects that they want in the third round at number 87 and could possibly even trade up for if they see the opportunity to do so. Toure similarly is a dynamic edge rusher, has outstanding explosiveness and athleticism. He has everything you look for in a pass rusher on the edge. He obviously could use more refined pass rushing moves and isn't the most polished prospect in that regard. But if you give Wade Phillips a player like him with his skill set, his size, his athleticism, he's definitely going to maximize his potential and get the most out of him for the Rams. Okoronkwo from Oklahoma is someone who the Rams have obviously showed interest in. I think they met with him at the combine. They hosted him for one of their 30 pre-draft visits. So he's definitely someone they've looked into and will continue to look into as the draft comes closer. But again, he's someone who may not be there in the third round. In today's NFL, you need guys who can throw the ball, you need guys who can protect the passer, and you need guys who can rush the passer. Okoronkwo obviously does the last of those three, and he's one of the better prospects in that department, and he was one of the co-defensive Big 12 players of the year. So he's definitely got the body of work and the intangibles and the production and all of that. As far as draft prospects go, he doesn't have great size or athleticism, which kind of knocks his draft stock a little bit and pushes him down draft boards. But again, with someone with those tools and that production, put him in Wade Phillips' defense, and you're really going to hopefully see him prosper and have his best football ahead of him. Arden Key is someone who we talk about a lot just because he's such a polarizing prospect where when he's on, he's one of the best pass rushers in this class and in the nation really the past few years. But he ran like a 4.91 at his pro day. He didn't run at the combine after he lost a bunch of weight to seemingly run faster. And there's definitely off the field concerns with him. Again, he's someone who, if Wade Phillips can get his hands on him and really hopefully refine his craft and get the most out of him, he could become an all-pro. You never know. But if that's is that a risk that the Rams are willing to take at that spot in the draft, I don't know. I don't know if he's someone might take him in the second round. Who knows? It's going to vary by team. It's going to depend on what they see off the field and really his character concerns that he's bringing into the draft. But whether the Rams would be comfortable with him at number 87 in the third round, I have no idea. They haven't brought him in for a pre-draft visit. They haven't really shown any interest in him, but he's someone who it's enticing to get your hands on him and really mold him into a player that you think he can be. And then Nwosu from USC is someone that the Rams could look into. They didn't host him for a pre-draft visit again, but he's a really good athlete. He's got good intangibles. And there aren't really any off the field concerns with him. So, he's another player who would be a home run pick at 87, but he may not be around again. That it seems like there's going to be a run on pass rushers in the second round. It's just so hard to predict heading into the third round who's going to be available, what the Rams are going to be looking for, and really what their ideal fit is. As far as inside linebackers go, I'll just touch on a few because I don't want to get too lengthy. I've written about all of these on the ramswire.com, so you can check it out there. I'll even include a link in the post here from the podcast. But Jannard Avery out of Memphis is someone I'm really intrigued by because he is such a versatile prospect. He can rush the passer at outside linebacker. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can blitz from inside linebacker and run sideline to sideline. He's got good speed. Really, he's a kind of a do-it-all prospect at linebacker, which the Rams could kind of use. We talk a lot about Shaquem Griffin's versatility and really his ability to do multiple things, whether it's line up at safety, cover tight ends, cover the slot, blitz off the edge. Line up as an edge rusher. He can do a lot. And while I like Griffin a lot, he's just not, he's obviously a great athlete. He's just a little bit more of a risk because he doesn't have one of his hands, which limits him as a prospect, as unfair as that is. But Avery is someone that's really intriguing. He's almost like a less athletic Shaquem Griffin who can do a lot of things. And in the third round, fourth round, possibly, he'd be a really solid pick. He's someone who I think teams are going to kind of fall in love with the way that the Cardinals did with Hassan Reddick, where you can line him up at multiple spots and he could go in the second round. But he's definitely someone who I think the Rams would find a lot of value in the third round, if he does fall to them. As far as the other linebackers, Micah Kizer, I've talked to at length about, he's a good run stuffing linebacker who he's not the best athlete, but he is one of those big thumpers that Wade Phillips kind of likes in his defense, where he can stop the run, and make plays on ball carriers by fighting off blocks and really getting through the trash in the middle of the field. Malik Jefferson is another intriguing guy because he does have such a rare skill set where he's a good athlete, but his instincts are really lacking. He reacts late to plays. He guesses sometimes as far as where the ball carrier is going to go. Isn't always disciplined in his gaps, but another guy who, if you can get him in LA where Wade Phillips can help develop him into a strong prospect, you could get the most out of him and really turn him into a Pro Bowl linebacker. Darius Leonard is a little bit undersized, but a good athlete. He really blew up at the Senior Bowl and had a great week there. And then Josie Jewell is one of the worst athletes, I would say, at linebacker, but his instincts and his feel for the game at inside linebacker is really, really good. He doesn't need that elite speed to make plays on the ball in the middle of the field because he just has a good feel for the game and where the flow of the play is going to go. And then on the offensive line, as I said, Ragnow is someone who could play guard and center from Arkansas. He's potentially going to be a first-round, second-round pick. So I kind of, at this point in the process, I doubt he's going to be there in the third round. Crosby is someone that the Rams have looked into a lot, and they're seemingly really interested in. They met with him at the combine. They hosted him for a pre-draft visit. So he's definitely someone who, if the Rams are wiped out at linebacker in the third round when their pick does come around, Crosby is someone who could be a nice fallback plan. You can develop him at guard before kicking him outside to left tackle or right tackle to take over for Whitworth or Havenstein. He's someone who could definitely fall just because of how much depth there is on the defensive side. It could push guys like that down the board. So he's someone that I think the Rams are going to keep a close eye on heading into the draft. Orlando Brown, like I said, had a terrible combine. He was once viewed as a potential first-round pick. Now it's unclear if he's going to be picked in the top 100. Austin Corbett is someone who can play guard and center. He has experience at multiple spots on the offensive line. And then Brian O'Neill is probably one of the more pure left tackle prospects at this point in the draft. So he's someone who could definitely take over for Whitworth down the road as far as playing left tackle for the Rams is concerned. With their 30 pre-draft visits, which the NFL gives every team heading into the draft, the Rams did kind of focus it on really those three positions, outside, inside linebacker, and then offensive line. Of the 30, actually we don't even know how many they used, but as far as our count goes from reports on Twitter and in the news, they've used 22. 10 of those were linebackers. 6 of those were offensive linemen. 3 were running backs. 2 were defensive backs, and 1 was a running back, or a wide receiver, excuse me. So the Rams really are focusing on those three positions. Some of the more intriguing guys who they did host are Dorrance Armstrong Jr. out of Kansas, Obo Okoronkwo from Oklahoma, a guy we talked about a little bit before. Jerome Baker is a linebacker from Ohio State. Alex Kappa is a big offensive tackle from Humboldt State. He's someone who's been talked a lot about for a small school guy throughout the process. Terrell Crosby was hosted. Dane Cruikshank from Arizona is someone who a lot of analysts and draft pundits are interested in because he does have good intangibles and good size, measurables, everything for the defensive back position. He could play safety, he could play corner. The Rams are deep at both spots, but given their contract situations with LaMarcus Joyner and Marcus Peters really being unclear moving forward, you never know, they could look in that direction. Kylie Fitz from BYU is someone who they could look at in the 4th and 6th rounds. Josie Jewell and Micah Kaiser, who I talked about a little bit before, they were both visitors. Joe Ostman out of Central Michigan is an edge rusher, another kind of sleeper that a lot of draft analysts are high on. They like his physicality and things like that. And then Akram Wadley is a running back out of Iowa. He can catch the ball, he can return punts, return kicks. So he's a versatile prospect. So those are kind of the positions that the Rams are looking at. It's worth noting that there was only one wide receiver, Doris Fountain. So it's kind of at this point in the process with Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp being the top receivers on the depth chart. The Rams probably feel pretty good about the guys that they have there and don't feel a need to address the wide receiver position in the draft this week. Like I said, their top draft needs are outside and inside linebacker, offensive line. After that, it's difficult to kind of pin down a position. You could see them go with a tight end maybe in the fourth or sixth rounds. Jalen Samuels is kind of a versatile guy who can play a bunch of different positions. He can line up at running back, H-back, tight end, fullback, things like that. So he's a versatile guy in that regard. And then running back, I think that's kind of a little bit of an underrated need for the Rams because obviously they do have Gurley and Malcolm Brown. But as far as third down backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield, really be that Lance Dunbar that the Rams were hoping they'd get last season. They could look for someone like that in the later rounds, fourth, sixth round, possibly trade up in the sixth round to get a fifth rounder. So you never know. Cornerback is another position that they could address just because Marcus Peters has his fifth year option coming in 2019. Aqib Talib is under contract for only 2 years. And the Rams don't really seem to value cornerbacks as much as other teams do when it comes to re-signing them to long-term deals. But those are really their top needs, I think, heading into the draft. And then finally, we did get a little bit of news on the fronts of Todd Gurley and Marcus Peters. On Tuesday, the Rams reportedly picked up the options for both Gurley and Peters. Those are fifth-year options that come with every player drafted in the first round. They were taken in the first round of the 2015 draft, so the options are for 2019 to keep them under contract for one more year. Gurley's going to make $9.63 million on that option, and then Peters is going to make $9.069 million. So together, almost $20 million combined, which is really a bargain considering how good both players are and really how impactful they're both going to be next season. So that's really unsurprising news for the Rams. It was a given, and now it kind of gives them a little bit more time to negotiate contracts with them without having to worry about them hitting free agency next offseason before they can get them under contract. So that'll do it for this episode of the Rams Wire podcast. Keep it locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and then you can follow me as well at Cam Da Silva. We'll keep you caught up on everything heading into the draft, the picks that the Rams make, and then we'll kind of try to recap everything next week on another podcast. So we'll talk to you guys then and enjoy the draft.